which is the public company. So for the start, we're going to review the HOP company's numbers. And I ran some reports already. So here we're taking a look at our sales by customer summary, January through June 2008. Name of the customer down the left-hand side. First quarter, Jan to March, April to June is the second quarter in total. You'll see 361 was for the first quarter, 474 for the second quarter. So we're already at 835, you know, for the year, and you know, sales are up over the previous period. With a simple click of the button, we download our P&L right down into a spreadsheet. And again, the 474 is the sales over 360, 113,000 or 32 or 31% and a half percent increase over the previous quarter, which is an excellent trend. You see our gross profit here. We have 251 in the first, 324 in the second, hovering around the, you know, the 68 to 70% level. We do buy out some finished goods, but it's a relatively small portion of our purchases. And the big purchases are the plastic items. Paper will be added here in the near future, but again, very high high margin. And we have our labor down below to add to that calculation. Taking it down on our expenses for overhead. We have the first quarter overhead is 252, second quarter 240, which is an $11,000 decrease in overhead or 4.7%. And the interesting thing was when we moved from New Hyde Park to Connecticut, we exited the facility for New Hyde Park on May 1st, 2018, which is 1 month into the second quarter. So we were incurring costs during that second quarter. But more importantly and exciting is that we shut down those machines on a Friday, tested them on a Saturday, and by Monday we were producing orders without skipping a beat. Everyone worked extremely hard, and it was a little difficult exiting the facility to clean up and all that, but we got it done, and really, the costs were significant. We are now went from 5,000 down to 3,400 square feet, less machinery, less overhead, a lot less expensive, believe it or not, in Connecticut than Long Island. And we have quite a bit of capacity with the setup here. It's on a lean manufacturing Kanban type setup where the product movement throughout the factory is very small movements from raw material to our sheeter to the bins to the cutter, taper, back to the bins, back out, and then to our three bay pickup for UPS, FedEx, and the trucks that come in on a daily basis. So again, our plan is to continue to increase the sales, lever the high margin here that we have with our product lines, keep our overhead in line with a good growth plan, and you'll see things like, for example, payroll expenses were 196 for the first quarter to increase to 200, and including the tax line there, 218 or 19,000. So it was an increase. However, the increase in payroll was because we added two new salespeople to the equation to increase our top line sales. We added two manufacturing guys to, we are now poised to add a second shift without skipping a beat. So we're ready for that growth. Looking at our expenses below the line, down here, we do have some early payment discounts, and we take advantage of that when customers are willing to pay early interest expense. And the big item here that I referenced in the update from a few days ago was the relocation expenses from Long Island to Connecticut, $70,000, 42 in the first quarter, 27, 28,000 in the second quarter. Those charges are no longer being incurred, obviously, since we're out of the facility. We are now really focused on our growth plan. Just move over to our balance sheet here for HOP companies. So our cash balance, you can see, has dwindled quite a bit, and there are a bunch of moving parts, outflows, deposits coming through, and we are very sensitive to our receivable balance. And you can see here, 99,000 or 100,000 ending the first quarter. Now it's up to 150. As of today, I think it spiked to 165, and it's going to probably increase because we do have quite a few orders coming down the pike as well. But that 100 to 150 is 50,000 of cash flow that we have to kind of wait on and get it through, because we don't have any traditional forms of debt financing to help support these curves and swings and working capital. We have our inventory remain pretty flat. Same thing with equipment, intercompany, which is just the relationship with Halitron, how it flows back and forth. Accounts payable, $5,000 less, and other liabilities, relatively even for the quarter. On our accounts receivable and accounts payable, when you acquire a distressed company, there are often skeletons in the closet that you have to work through and work out, whether it's customer or vendor issues, employee issues. And you deal with them head on. And in our case, this is a debt issue that has popped up. AP is $232,000 at this point, and we have receivables that are 163. So it's a little out of balance. We want to see a higher ratio of receivables to payables. But when we look at the payables, what we've done, and also this goes for the debt sections of both balance sheets for Halitron and Hop, is we look at the legacy issues in debt and do workouts, and we pay payment plans and just slowly pay down those debts over a long period of time, sharing the story of how we're trying to drive value for all stakeholders in the model and keep up with our current obligations to grow and build the company. So it is a challenge. It's a little bit of a rat race day in, day out, but we have made significant progress over the past 8 weeks in this area. Let's look at our equity capital table a little bit. About 12 million shares have been issued. The majority of them are free trading or float shares. So it creates a real dynamic market of, as of today, just under 400 million on the bid at 0001, about 1.3 billion on the ask at 0002. And I had Lewis, the financial analyst for the company, who, by the way, works full-time as in investor relations, financial analyst, and also has some operating roles within the portfolio company that helps and analyzes the charts and liquidity and what's taking place in the market, including sentiment for our company. I had him put together this little table, which is stock sales from January through July 10, 2018. We have our stock price on the left-hand side. So these are all sales from 1 to 0010 or 001. The volume and units, the percentage based on the total. So 1.6 divided by 20 is 8.5. Then I had them converted to dollars to see what the dollar volume is in this column, and then the same percentage of the total. So you'll see 6.5 is the dollar total, 20 billion is the number of units. And in reference to our capital structure and table, you know, 10.5 billion in flow, you know, the float exchanged hands, you know, almost over twice within this period of time. So highly liquid company, 8.5 to 2.5, both in units and dollars at that one. And the interesting thing is if you look at 2, 3, and 4, with some pressure on the stock from the 3A10, which is the way the acquisition worked, was in quite a range here, which was 73.76% of the trades throughout that period. So while we seem to be stuck in a little window between 1 and 2, you know, we did hit 001, one, maybe just a handful of trades and driven it. So it shows that if we could tackle a few things, which I'll share with you in terms of, you know, debt, equity, and how we have had to fund the company in the near future. And if we could do it internally with a buyback, I feel excited about the future value that's being increased through these potential transactions. Moving on to strategy and operating talking points. We touched on the assets a number of times throughout this, but we do have 6 assets under our umbrella. And the plan is to take the operating Hop and Cinch, which is generating revenues and profits, from a portfolio perspective, and continue to increase it by adding salespeople and new products to those pipelines, cross-selling between the two brands, which is coming along as of the last 4 to 5 weeks. We have a second brand, which is in the vinyl paperwork arranger type business model. Again, small niche product line, but it'll add another manufacturing service to our wheelhouse, and also the opportunity to cross sell some products to some of these other customers. We have two other larger brands in the archival space. I would estimate about 300,000 customers between the two of them. And that would, we have a targeted acquisition in Tijuana that would help on the factory side to really set up that two footprint, northeast with Newtown, Connecticut, and southwest with Tijuana, Mexico. Opportunity to manufacture, pick, pack, and ship, and even become more efficient. We do have the LTCP note payable that is due in 2020. And there are some negotiations that have taken place with that note payable, and some discussions about the note payable that I'm addressing now. And once, if that is paid at 2020, it is intended to dividend that out to the shareholders after reviewing what the process would look like with our legal folks. And then outside of the six assets, it's our acquisition model, which I'm kind of jumping down to the bottom. And we are always looking at acquisitions, and we have a really efficient process of working with potential acquisition targets. We review the material quickly once we sign an NDA. We come up with an enterprise value on the company. We generally outline the four different components for how we could acquire the company by bringing a financial partner, paying some cash, a note payable, earnout, and stock retention. And then, and these are very hard discussions because we're a pink sheet company and the financing is usually with a third party that could come into the fold. So we were successful with a few of them to negotiate these type of deals, but that's how we handle it. And then at the terms of accepting an LOI, and if we go to a signature, that's when we do the heavy lifting with legal and accountants to get in there and really figure out what we have available to us. Historically, we've looked at acquisitions that are bolt-ons that make logical, strategic sense to bring in a factory, a brand, a team to layer in their product or service into our current infrastructure. But we are now looking at some hypermarkets to see if mutually exclusive of our current structure and infrastructure that we could acquire an asset or company in a high growth or hyper growth space that would operate independently, and we would add value through financing or shares, and you know, being able to provide a liquid way to exit their investment over a longer period of time. For us, existing shareholders, these hopefully would be industries that have a very high market caps and valuations because of the markets that they're existing in currently in. Infrastructure and operations, we touched on that in the financial section, kind of northeast right now, hopefully the southwest here in the coming quarters. We touched on our balance sheet strategy. I know there's been a few questions about the debt load. You know, we have two tiers of debt, kind of legacy debt that's dealt with separately from current debt. I believe for the most part we have it in check. You know, cash is always king, and we're always looking for ways to accelerate receipts or delay some payables. I think it'll steadily get better as we go through the cash conversion cycle, you know, post move out of Long Island with profitability. It'll take 30 to 45 days for cash flow to catch up, and that's when we will deploy it to make sure we have a healthy operating company day in, day out, pay down, you know, some debt that is out there, and then obviously our stock buyback, which will hopefully strategically increase the share value for all the companies out there. In terms of like legal projects that are out there, there's a handful of them that we deal with, you know, with some of the issues with acquisitions and vendors and employees and things that we, you know, handle them dead on and try and figure out the best thing to keep shareholder value intact and our assets and companies moving forward. The 3A10 is a process that we closed the acquisition with Hop Companies last August, approved through the court system in the state of Florida, and basically brought in a third party EROP funds out of Georgia to help facilitate a note payable acquisition. So 100% debt in this process to get them paid. And we are at $500,000 out of $700,000 paid at this point. There are many variables in our business that I touched on right in the beginning of the conference call. One of them is depositing stock through this 3-8-10 process through some of the larger brokers, specifically one called Alpine. And as of probably 2.5 months ago, Alpine, for one reason or another, stopped taking deposits of sub-penny stock. I do not know the specifics. I did hear through a few sources that they will take stock, but they require a 50 times, up to a 50 time ratio of cash to stock price. Or for us, that's valuing the share at a penny instead of the 0.001. So as you could imagine, that's most folks are not in that type of position to lay out that much capital for this type of project. So it's been on hold for some time now, and we're kind of going back to the original owner, you know, talking about some issues that were transpired during the close, and we'll figure out what, you know, from a legal perspective, what the next steps are, and that we have a lot of work to be done, focused on the business to create a healthy environment for it, and now it's a little bit of cleanup work on this project. So what does the company need? And as the CEO of the Halitron Inc., I am a very strong supporter of buying the stock and taking these shares off the market to the sidelines in your portfolio to allow the stock to have that supply and demand that is healthy for us to continue to grow the value of the company, get more shareholders in, which I believe we ran a Noble report. We're at about 1,650 shareholders, and then a lot of people do not report it. So we could be touching on maybe 2,000, maybe 1,900 shareholders at this point. But we do need more shareholders, especially to support the bid side of the company and have an interest in, you know, driving the value of our company because of the unique capital structure that we have with the 11 to 12 million shares that are out there, and the low price point with a hardworking team trying to drive the value. So company need is definitely, you know, coming in, you know, buying up the stock and helping, you know, create liquidity with the market makers, and they'll further support the stock to get us into a good, healthy position of getting an audit, 2-year audit, and a stock price that we would need a 1 penny share price for 20 trading days to uplist to the QB. The thresholds for the other exchanges are much, much higher, but take it one step at a time, and we do have that objective strategy in place for that. The second piece is getting access to inexpensive and non-convertible debt, because we need to continue to clean up the balance sheet, get it all cleaned up, and we are, you know, seeking out conversations that with our legal team to make sure we could package a debt instrument within a public company the correct way. But if you could send us an email to the info@halitroninc.com if there's interest, or if you know of a firm or whatever that's in this space that likes what we do and how we're going about it, you know, we're always open to the conversations to see if there's a good fit. Because if we could plug in, you know, a couple hundred thousand, 200,000-300,000 into a model like this, that would kind of take a lot of the day-to-day pressure off and allow us to focus on the top line and continue to grow. It would be, I think, very beneficial to the performance of the company and also our strategic plans of the audit, uplist, the buyback, the dividend in a couple of years, the LTCP loan. So we are definitely interested there and would appreciate all your guys' support. So with that being said, we're now moving on to our Q&A section here. And I have a list of questions that some shareholders have sent over to us, which I really, really appreciate. And we're going to answer those questions first. And then from there, Lewis might have some text questions that might come through, and I'll be happy to answer those questions as well. So the first question, and I tried to organize them from like a P&L balance sheet and a miscellaneous perspective. First question is, how do you plan on increasing sales to $4 million from the existing targeted $2 million? And a great question, touched on it a couple times with the brands that we have under our portfolio right now. We have the Retalium brand, which has been created, which is the combination of hop and cinch, which is the plastic and printed products. We've added 2 sales reps to the equation. recently that'll further help and market it. We're adding new product lines, cross-selling print to the plastic customers and plastic to the print customers. And then we have the three other brands that at varying stages will come into the fold that will add accretive revenues to our business model. Next question, what's the max output capacity at the Newtown office? So we're in 3,400 square feet. We run one shift right now from 8 to 4 o'clock, Monday to Friday. That estimated capacity for the shift is about 2.5 million. We could add two more shifts in this model. That would take it up to about 7.5 million. And we would reduce it a tad for, you know, crossover, maintenance, you know, downtime. But we are talking about that $7.5 million just in this facility. We're also in a very large building that has capacity throughout the building to add on to the space. Next question, with the new equipment bought, which are being used and what for? So the latest equipment that has been resurrected and purchased is a one is a two-color offset press to make printed plastic chips and strips, depending on the size, as well as fluorescent cards and tags. The fluorescent feature to the Cinchlines product is a major differentiating point. And that product line cannot be printed on a digital press because of the sensitivity to the color spectrum of the fluorescence. We also have a Xerox C75, which is being resurrected now for the remaining parts of the Cinchlines product line. And that'll be up and running, I would estimate, over the next 2 or 3 months to really produce it. We do have an outsourced partner in the interim as we build it up so that we can deliver goods timely. Next question, this is kind of moving into the balance sheet part. With the low cash balance and current assets, we have plans expanding operations and possibly acquisitions. Do you believe cash and assets are important to these plans and operations? What is the plan on continuing with further stock dilution? So to answer the question, yes, current assets are key, and that's why I spent a significant time on AR, AP, our limited cash balance, really not a lot of access to traditional financing right now. To stress the point that, you know, we do get out every day on these points, but we take a balance sheet perspective from the liabilities, including accounts payable, to take the legacy debt, quarantine it into a longer term payment plan, and then take our current debt and pay it current to keep operations and funded. And as we build up our sales and profitability, we'll continue to address the working capital part, because we do need a healthy working capital ratio to operate these types of business. Our cash conversion cycle is from when a dollar goes out for raw material or marketing, about 35 to 40 days. So there is a little bit of a gap, and as our sales grow, it puts more pressure on our working capital. What is the plan on continuing with further stock dilution? We are a public company. We did enter this business model to provide liquidity to our shareholders, provide value to the management team and all of our stakeholders. And in some cases, if you look at our balance sheet on the Halitron side, you will see kind of healthy debt, which is affiliate debt, which are insiders that are not convertible, both short and long term. And then you have short term debt that in a small 10,000 piece that is convertible on the long term side. I want to stop that process and try and focus on debt transactions that are reasonably priced on the debt side to fund the operations, because at some point with so many shares out, even though, a couple hundred thousand, I think, would take out the twos from today's numbers, the dilution impact needs to diminish so that the other schedule that we shared with you, which are the ones all the way up to 001, 000091, could be in play. And that needs to be done in a way that there's not selling pressure on the stock. So we do want to do as little as possible. The 3A10 is basically in a hold pattern because of deposit issues. And we want to try and avoid that and move on to driving the cash flows through the business to buy back and actually take it the other way, where if you look at our balance sheet, you'll see a treasury stock line item. And we'd like to see that number grow quite a bit, because that's taking back the stock out of float and putting it on our balance sheet. Next question, the company has 7 million in liabilities and plan to reduce 11 billion shares outstanding. Do you have debt reduction plan? I answered that. Do you have a schedule for stock reduction? We do not have a specific schedule other than our goal is to continue to decrease our overhead, reinvest in some cases in our growth plan, increasing sales, levering the 68 to 70% gross profit so that it's profitable, waiting the 40 to 35 day cash flow cycle to take that cash and put it back into our growth plan. And buybacks is part of that growth plan. We don't have a specific schedule. There are too many variables that come into play where we'll have to debate as a management team, sales opportunities, new products, acquisitions, and our buyback to deploy the capital in the best way based on our weighted average cost of capital. Next question, why increase authorized from 11 to 25 billion? That is a requirement in the 3A10 to have a certain level of reserve shares for the transaction. It's a contractual obligation. Are we done funding the payoff of HOP? And I mentioned we did 500K out of 700, and we will be seeking legal advice to kind of negotiate the remainder and work through a few issues. Do you plan on a reverse split? Touched on that, no. For the we review it on a monthly basis, and right now our unique capital structure is a real unique situation with the floor at one or no bid, and the trading volume, which is as of today, I think 134 million is the average, which is quite a bit. Next question: the audit uplifts are very important to the company, management, shareholders. To make this happen, the stock price must raise to a minimum requirement, which is a penny. To get this management. Outline buybacks. How does this affect other priorities like debt reduction or priority? And I basically just answered that. We'll evaluate it and deploy the capital in a way that drives our shareholder value the best, which is obviously paying down debt for keeping the business healthy, keeping the vendors and legacy debt at bay, and then deploying capital for new products, new customers, possibly acquisitions, and obviously the buyback. And the buyback is not last in that order. We'll take a look at it. I do see us buying shares back every quarter, no matter what, like we've done the last few quarters. That'll be a important part, and I want to make sure everyone sees that on a quarterly basis and monitors our cash balance with the how it flows through our model. Next question, what is the status of the audit, which will be needed to uplist? When do you foresee uplisting to the QB? Is the first part of that question. So we've engaged Friedman LLP probably about a year and a half now, and spent over $100,000 on that, plus consulting and other fees to get through the work papers through September 2016. We have engaged them for through 17, and we had to pick that back up to for the remainder of that audit. We do have a intern that is in accounting and getting a second one on board to really split the role between the audit and the operating accounting activities each day, and that should occur here shortly. We're now at that point where getting through the move, the transition, we're working on a few projects, growth projects over the summer that I could allocate the time needed to complete that. But it will take months to get through this audit. We got a big part of it done. But we do need, especially now that we're a manufacturing company, which increases your responsibilities for your balance sheet and inventory costs and those components to be up to par. Question, Cinch Signs, is it up and running? Yes, as of a couple of weeks ago, we got the list cleaned up and started introducing those customers to the HOP products and conversely the plastic products to the Cinch ones. We hired a sales rep to focus on it. It's coming along. Next question, what other acquisitions are in the works, if any? Do you plan on retiring the 4 to 5 billion shares left? So I'm not too sure about the retiring the part of the shares, but I can't answer that one. It's not clear enough. But the acquisitions that I touched on were the one in the center part of the US, 10 million in sales, profitable, pretty strategic, and has an interesting IP licensing play in that business model. It's still on the market, waiting to hear back on that one. And then there's the factory out of Mexico, which is another one. We have reviewed a few other business plans, and we are kind of taking a right-hand turn from the meat and potato type business, which is product-based, to some hyper-growth markets that we're pretty excited about, partnering up with some companies to see if they want to become a, you know, a wholly owned subsidiary of the company and have a large shareholder base and with a unique capital structure to drive value for all of us as well as the new shareholders in that acquisition. All right, one question just came across. Thank you for discussing the reverse split buyback. Has there been talk or thought about retiring some of the authorized shares to help stock price increase? Also, are any of these shares being used for those upcoming acquisitions? So no, we haven't talked about retiring the shares because it is a contractual part of the 3-8-10 that's still sitting there, but just not active is the best way to describe it. But would those shares be used for upcoming acquisitions? We would definitely do the calculation of what our share price is, what's the enterprise value. And the interesting thing with acquisitions is that we would issue restricted shares, which would be held for probably in our case as a pink sheet, 2 years as a QB or higher, 6 months to 12 months. But also on that negotiations, it's standard to do leak outs where they, you know, at that 6 to 2 year period would only be allowed to release so many shares into the market if that was the case. So we could use them for that process. It's kind of the point of a public company. And a good question. Thank you. Next question. So the question is, management basically has made some statements through our shareholder updates that have not been accomplished or have been abandoned or appear to be abandoned altogether. Will you update the shareholders on these past plans and promises to put to bed those that have been abandoned and update the progress of those still working? So I think we've covered a lot of these points. Every update that have been provided to the market since 2015 is extremely accurate. As I touched on with the disclosure statement, each statement is based on tremendous variables in the marketplace, whether it's the new duties that are being enacted. For example, we're expecting a 25% tariff on plastic imports in the next 2 to 4 weeks for the next tier of tariffs that have been put into motion. And then there's a third tier as well. So we react to those variables as to where we could buy our raw materials from a source outside of China, to make sure we don't interrupt the supply chain. So there are variables like that, the debt and equity component, lack in traditional debt, they all play into our decisions. But in terms of what we reported to the market, if there was one thing that got abandoned, there would be a reason for it. Most likely it's related to debt and equity. I know we had three acquisitions lined up about a year and a half ago. It needed $2 million of equity, which of large private equity firm, Wellington Shields, could not tackle for us. So that was the variable there. They levered up the debt side, but there was a variable outside of our control that could not be accomplished. So the appearance would be an abandonment of those objectives, but it really was a variable that did not come through at that point. The key ones are that are still in motion that have taken longer is the audit. You know, it's a frustrating process, expensive, and it's hard, you know, you're always taking a dollar and trying to allocate it to the best use within a company. And in some cases, you look at your expenses and is it better to buy raw material that drives sales, profits, or is it better to hire an intern and an outside accountant plus an outsourced CFO to package up the audit to get to the auditors so that we can get this 2-year audit done. And it is extremely important to us. It's on the hit list. We're right upon us now that we've been able to get to this point. So each and every point has a storyline behind it. Feel free to email us and we could, you know, if it becomes like a real resonating item, we'll definitely address it in a shareholder update. Next question, let's see here. What's the roadmap like for the next 3 years, or as long as you're allowed to say? Is there an approximate and proposed timeline for the uplist? The uplist is not a timeline, but it's more or less requirements, which is a 2-year audit stock price of a penny or more for 20 straight days. And I would like to do it as quickly as possible, but it is a function of those two events. The penny share price, we're trying to enact certain ways to get our share price up by buying shares back, driving the fundamentals within the company so that we can bring in more shareholders and have a healthy healthy environment. And as a fallback, you know, while the reverse split is the topic that we have disclosed that we are not doing a reverse at the present time, would be one reason why we would do a reverse if it was for a specific uplist. But outside of that, I like our capital structure and where we are and the opportunity that we continually, you know, go from triple zeros in a number to double zero in a number and then eventually to a penny. And we're going to try and drive it as hard as possible. In terms of the next 3 years, and this is not in relation to stock price, but just more of the operating plan, I would look at our, you know, six assets that we have. We have the two under Retalium that have come together. We have the next three over the next 3 to 6, maybe 9 months coming into the fold with the factory out of Mexico. I could see in the plans by early next year. And then the development of the business plan of the digital scrapbooking business with the, you know, being on the horizon. So not taking our eye off the ball that generates the revenues and profits and cash flow. And then at the same time, seeking out other acquisitions to bring into the fold, including the ones in the hyper growth markets that we all know and see on the news and in the markets day in, day out. So we're going to, you know, look at those, and that probably takes us into, you know, year two and then year three. Boy, it seems so far out. But by year three, I would think and estimate that, you know, all the brands would be, you know, in operation, developing revenues at good margins. Our digital scrapbooking effort would be on its way within year three. And who knows on the acquisition front? I think we're pretty excited to be looking at some of these new markets. Next question. Is there a campaign plan to increase public interest? And the answer is yes. We've hired a financial analyst who's been on board now for 8 months from a local university finance major who has a great passion for stocks and the statistics behind it and the marketing, and has been working closely with our marketing department for social media. We now have a, you know, account with all the major portals out there, and especially Twitter. And we're going to stay active in communicating through our shareholder updates, emails. We do pick up our phone. When you call the 800 number, we do respond to every email. And we've, through this new WeConvene/Zoom technology, are hosting our first conference call. So we're going to stay at it. And we really do enjoy this this part of it. And we do enjoy hearing from the shareholder base. Next question, will LTCP be in Halitron's future? And it'll be in our future in terms of the no payable that's out there. But in terms of the business model, the assets that were merged into LTCP have been pulled back into Halitron so we could utilize them for the shareholder base of and value for current shareholders on that are invested in Halitron. Next question, what happened to the board advisors that were on the old website? These advisors were brought in through an executive at LTCP. And they had varying skill sets and in some of those hyper growth markets that I referenced before. I didn't have wasn't the direct contact with them, but and I'm not too sure what transpired when on January 21st when we kind of entered into the next phase of the transaction, but it's possible that they're working with LTCP, which is kind of morphed into a technology play. If you research some of the disclosures and information on that company, but we did, you know, modify the website to accurately reflect who we are at this point in time. Alrighty, at this point, we are done with questions, both submitted as well as on the over the portal. And I thank you all for your time. Stay tuned. We will post the follow up to this meeting by market open Monday morning. And have a great rest of your week and weekend. Thank you.